Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 4. In verse 2, the Word of God says, "When Jesus was finished fasting 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry." You can imagine, not eating for 40 days would make you hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Young people, I want you to understand something. This is going to happen to you. It's not anything you're doing wrong. It's just going to happen to you. It happens to every human being. You're going to be tempted from time to time. And it's not sin to be tempted. But you will be tempted from time to time. And you need to know how to deal with that temptation, or the temptation can cause a great deal of problems in your life. It can get you into a lot of trouble. You want to make sure that you think properly when the temptation comes, that you know how to deal with it. Now, number one thing you have to realize, and this is a big mistake that people make, you are not the source of your own temptation. Sometimes people think that they are tempted of themselves. We have something that developed in humans when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden for the very first time. That was called a sin nature. That's located in the DNA. If you don't know what DNA is yet, don't worry about it. What you need to know is that's the part that you inherit. That's the part that's passed down from parents to children. And then those children pass it to their children, and they pass it to their children. And we've gotten this from Adam and Eve. The old sin nature is the tendency of people to sin. It's a very simplistic way of looking at it, but it's accurate. It's really a tendency for people to sin. That's our old sin nature. You will have this as long as you are alive on earth. When you go to heaven, you will no longer have it. But you will have it as long as you are alive on earth. It does not need to control you, but it can. You don't want it to control you, but some people are controlled by it. Now, what happens is that Satan identifies the characteristics of our sin nature, because every person's sin nature is a little bit different. In other words, the things that we are tempted by are different. So one person can be tempted with money, for example, and another person can be tempted with fame, and those are different. And so Satan identifies what it is that tempts us. Tempting us is trying to draw us into the things that are not of God. And so Satan targets our sin nature. That's what he aims at when he tempts us. Never mistake your temptation as coming from you. You're the target. You're not the source. If you mistake your temptation as being from you, you're going to try fighting yourself, and that doesn't work. That's going to lead you to becoming very tired, very frustrated, and eventually you'll say, "Well, this Christianity stuff doesn't work for me. Christ doesn't work for me. I'm going to turn to something else." The reason why it's not working is because you're doing it wrong when that takes place. If ever you get the thought, "This doesn't work for me, what the Bible says," you're doing it wrong. That's why it's not working. If you do it right, it works beautifully. If you do it wrong, well, nothing works if you do it wrong. And so understand that. If it's not working for you, you're doing it wrong. That's not the way you deal with it. You identify the source of the temptation. The source of the temptation is always the devil. He is called the tempter. The reason why he is called the tempter is because he's the one that brings temptation. So you're the target, you're not the source. Remember that when it comes to temptation. You're the target, you're not the source. Now there's a difference between sin and temptation. Sin is when you do anything that is not right with God. In other words, anything that is not a faith response to God is sin. So sin is anything that is not right with God. If you are making decisions that are not right with God, then you're in sin. If you are making decisions that are right with God, you're not in sin. Sin is anything that is not right with God. Temptation is when you're thinking about sin. Where sin is trying to lure you, when it's enticing you, the thought of, maybe I could do this, or maybe I would enjoy this, or maybe that would be good. You don't want to buy into that. That is a lie. You do not want to buy into that. In order to understand that, let's explain a little bit of how this first started. Because if you understand how it started, then it'll help you to understand how it works. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, this is when Adam and Eve were in the garden. And Satan entered into the serpent. The serpent was simply a snake. And apparently Eve had a pet snake. I don't know why she would have had a pet snake. I don't particularly care for snakes. But she had a pet snake. And Satan entered into that snake. And Satan was more cunning here, it says, that is crafty and deceitful and subtle, very quiet and sneaky, than any beast of the field which God has made. So the most cunning, sneaky, nasty, crafty creature that exists is Satan. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you will not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now in Genesis 2:17, God, yes, he really did say that. God said, you can eat of any tree of the garden, but you cannot eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There was a very good reason why they couldn't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because in Ezekiel 31:18, that's Satan's tree. You don't want Satan's tree. You can have any tree, don't take Satan's tree. That's the only one you cannot have, God said. Key to this is in that phrase, has God indeed said? That's not actually a question about what God spoke. That's just the way the English language interpreted it. But that's not really a good interpretation. They didn't translate that really well. The better translation would have been, does it make any sense to you that God would say, you can eat of any tree in the garden, and the implication was, but not the best tree. Because Satan's tree was very beautiful. Before he fell, when he was right with God, he was the most beautiful angel. So Satan's tree was very beautiful. It was very appealing. Trouble is, it was deadly. Sometimes you see this in nature. Some of the prettiest plants can also be some of the deadliest plants, the most poisonous ones. Look at poison ivy, for example. That's not as poisonous as some, but that's actually a fairly pretty plant. It's got these nice little white berries, and it's kind of attractive if you look at it as a plant. Don't touch it. You're going to be itchy as all get out for the next 2 weeks, but it's a pretty plant. Now, Satan said to Eve, does it make any sense? And that was a trick. He said to her, don't go with what God said. Go with what you can figure out. Well, that's devastating. That's bad news. You always go with what God said. Because God knows everything in 1 John 3:20. You always go with what God says. God is always looking out for your benefit, for your protection, for your well-being. God is always looking for ways to bless you and to build you and to edify, to build you up, to make joy come into your life. God is always looking for that. So when he says to Eve, forget what God said, what do you think? Oh, was that a nasty trick? You never want to go down that road. That road will mess you up every time. And then in verse 5, something happened as a result. He said to Eve, God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. And that's not actually like the Lord God. It's actually a small g, not a big g. It means like angels. One of the words for God, and there's several of them, but one of the words for God in the original language is Elohim, and that was also used for angels. So he's saying to her, you can be like the angels, Eve, knowing good from evil. And then in verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took its fruit and she ate. And then something else happened. She also gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. It's a funny thing about sin. Sin doesn't like to be alone. When somebody falls into sin, they're always looking to take somebody else with them. Well, the only other person at the time that was around was Adam. And guess what she did? She fell into sin and she took Adam with her. Sin always does that. Sin will try to get somebody else to trip up as well. Now here's the thing. Satan told her that she could have a benefit when she stopped believing God. Well, the problem with that is, anytime you stop believing God, you start believing the devil. And that is a recipe, a surefire way for disaster to happen. The thing about it is, she never did become as the angels. He said to her, if you do what I tell you, just trust me, the devil says, and you can have all this. He never delivers. Satan never made her to be like the angels. What he did do is he took away the perfect condition that she was in, and he messed it all up for her. That's how sin works. That's why he tempts us. Because we're the prize in the conflict that is between God and the devil. We are what they are fighting over. And so Satan uses temptation to get us to come to his side. God uses love to get us to come to his side. Love is better than temptation. I'll guarantee you this. Love is better than temptation. Satan will tempt you to come to his side. God will love you to come to his side. Love is always better than temptation. Now, Jesus says in John 8:44, and pay careful attention to this, this is going to help you. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. The devil is a murderer. He's a killer. Have you ever thought of maybe saying hi and hanging out and going to the McDonald's with somebody you know is a killer? That would seem kind of stupid, wouldn't it? But the Bible says, Jesus said it himself, Satan is a murderer. He's a killer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar himself and the father of lies and all that is false. Do you know why he told Eve, you can be as the angels? He was lying to her so he could trick her into doing what he wanted her to do. Satan, when he tempts, he lies. Because he is a liar. Never listen to a liar. They are never telling you the truth. Satan will never tell you the truth. When you are tempted by a lie. The lie is, this might be good for you. The lie is, you might enjoy this. The lie is, you will have benefit from this. You will be popular because of it. You will be accepted. You will be loved. You will be all these different things. All of those things are a lie. When people yield to that lie, bad things happen in their life. Never yield to the lie. They may not happen tomorrow, but that's the cleverness of it. If the bad thing happened tomorrow, then I would quickly realize I need to stop. No, it doesn't happen tomorrow. It happens down the road a ways. But it always leads to bad things. The Bible says the result of sin is death. It always leads to bad things. Never believe the temptation. Never believe the temptation. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief only comes in order to steal and to kill and to destroy." Then he also said, "I came, Jesus came, that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." Now let me ask you something. If you know that somebody is talking to you so that he can trick you, so that he can steal something from you or destroy something that is important to you or to kill you, are you going to sit down with them and listen? You're going to hang out with them? You're going to say, "Tell me more." No, you're going to tell them, "Get lost, beat it, drop dead, get out of my face. Get away from me, fool." That's what you're going to tell them. That's how you handle temptation. You're not being tempted by yourself. You're not tempting yourself. Somebody else is tempting you. Now, sometimes the devil can use other people to tempt us because he knows how to use people's voice box. It's not that he possesses them. It's that he's whispering in their ear and they're repeating what he whispers. He knows how to do that. He's very good at it. A friend of yours says, "Come, let's do something we should not do." A lot of young people take drugs and it destroys their lives and a lot of them kill themselves because of it. It's completely devastating. They're like, "Guys, if anybody offers you stuff like drugs, get away from that person. Don't take them. Get away from that person. They are of the devil. They are there to hurt you." If anybody's saying, "Hey, have a drink with me and drink some alcohol with me," get away from that person. They're not doing you any favors. If anybody wants to touch your body, you say, "Get away from me." They're not doing you any favors. They're not your friend. They don't love you. They don't care about you. They want to hurt you. Why? Because the devil is influencing them. And the devil is the one who wants to hurt you. He does it with temptation. The temptation itself is just thinking about it. But when you think about things, sometimes you make decisions that are according to what you think about. So when you think about it, when the temptation comes, you don't say, "Yeah, okay." No, you say, "Get lost. Beat it. Drop dead." In James 4:7, the Bible says, "Submit to God." In other words, do what God says. Resist the devil, and he'll run away from you. Temptation is not really that hard to deal with, but you have to understand its source. If you think that temptation comes from you, you're going to try to resist yourself, and that's useless. That's very frustrating, and it never actually deals with the temptation. It just magnifies the temptation. But when you realize that the temptation is coming from your enemy, well, you know what? I've never had a problem saying no to my enemy. It becomes easy to deal with. That's from my enemy. I understand where it's coming from. My enemy wants me to do that. And you know what? I'm going to tell my enemy to get lost. And you know what happens if you do that? He has to run away from you. That's how you deal with temptation. You say, "Forget it. and the devil has to run away from you. You don't pay attention to him. He can be talking, but you don't pay attention to him. That happens even with people. One person talks to the other, and the other one doesn't pay attention to what the one is saying. What happens? That person stops talking. Don't pay attention to what the devil says. He's lying to you. Don't pay attention to temptation. It's lying to you. God came so that you can have a very joyful, enjoyable, pleasant, successful, beneficial life. A life that is immensely satisfying. A life that you can really enjoy. Satan comes to take that away from you. He cannot take anything away from you that you don't give him. He can't force you into anything, but he can lie to you in order to trick you. So don't let him. If you don't let him, he'll go away. He'll stop. Because he can't continue if you simply say no to him and resist him. He might try to tempt you some more, but when he sees it doesn't work, he's going to have to change his tactics. And then he'll come up with something new, and when he sees it doesn't work, he's going to have to leave that alone also. It's not hard to deal with, but you do have to deal with it. And unfortunately, he is out there, and it's something every human being has to deal with, but it's not difficult. You can get complete victory over it. You can beat his butt. And it's not hard. You just resist them. You guys understand? That's it for today.